We are live from Studio Luma SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide. Now, I reckon our next guest, if he's not up and about, I'll go he for Chasey Roach. He is a mad Man City fan, and his arch rival Man United had their pants pulled down by Liverpool 5-0.
They not only had them pulled down, they were taken outside the stadium, sold, and never seen again.
I thought you were going to say something else, Roach. I was going to say, remember the time slot we're in. The next gentleman is the voice of the world game in Australia, and that's Simon Hill. Hello, Hilly.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Did you watch that game with interest?
And pleasure, and pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, your opening statement is interesting because whilst I'm always happy to see United lose, Liverpool, of course, are one of our main rivals for the title. So it's sort of mixed emotions.
you were torn. What do you make of it all? And are we going to see another manager get the flick or walk?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think he's going to do very well to survive this, to be honest. It's sort of been coming for a while, this, I think. Mm. You could almost have predicted this result, although perhaps not the margin. United have been so hot and cold this season, and Liverpool seemingly are back to their best. So, you know, they had to play very well last night to get a result, and unfortunately they were just awful. And they've had a few performances like that, you know, this season as well. So I think the pressure is really on now. It's going to take a very strong board to keep the faith with him. Now, I know a lot of people are drawing parallels with what happened with Alex Ferguson, you know, 20, 30 years ago. They had some poor results back in the day. I was at the Manchester Derby in 1989, which shows how old I am, when City beat United 5-1. That was a great night, by the way. And Fergie survived and went on to win, you know, multiple trophies. But I think the modern game is different, and the scrutiny is so intense on these managers these days. I'll be very surprised if he survives this.
Simon, we had a text message earlier to ask you about Tottenham, which my delight here is West Ham in the London Derby beat them 1-0. But the question is Tottenham a happy club?
Actually, I'll read the question. It was from Misty. G'day, guys. Can you please ask Simon Hill what is going on at Tottenham? Things are just not gelling, and I want to know his opinion.
Well, I think it's interesting because obviously they did have a change of manager at the start of the season. Nuno Espirito Santo came in from Wolves and actually made a very good start to the campaign. I think what he's trying to do is to make them more difficult to beat, which has always been a problem for Tottenham in years gone by. I think the big issue for Spurs is the Harry Kane saga. I don't know whether Harry Kane's 100% happy and whether that's transmitting itself to the rest of the team, I don't know. I mean, he clearly wanted to go during the off-season. I thought the way that he worded his statement, I am staying at Spurs for the summer, which suggests that maybe come the January transfer window, he has some sort of an agreement to leave. I don't know. But yeah, their results have certainly dipped since that promising start to the campaign. And another loss against West Ham, which, to be fair, is no embarrassment. West Ham are a good side these days. You know, they could challenge for the top four again themselves. But Spurs, of course, have big expectations. And it may well be that, you know, Harry Kane needs to be moved on for the good of the team as much as Harry.
Extraordinary stuff on the continent, Simon, where Jose Mourinho has a horrendous result midweek, makes some interesting remarks about the depth of his squad. And then in the Italy Serie A is the first team to take points off Napoli in the sense of getting a draw against Napoli. So what is it about Jose?
Well, Jose follows a pattern, doesn't he? You know, he goes into a club, he's all smiles, he's friends with the media.
Yes, he did that.
Happy clappy with the fans, kisses the babies. And then when a couple of results go awry, he starts lashing out at people. Now, you know, I'm not party to what goes on at Roma. I'm not particularly close to the Serie A in terms of coverage. But, you know, it is a familiar tale with Jose, and it requires strong characters around him, both to keep him on track and to keep the players on side. So I think we're entering an interesting period with Jose at Roma. It could go one of two ways. He could end up, winning trophies with them, or he could end up on his bike once again.
Great weekend for you. You got to go to a football game again inside a real stadium, inside a real media environment. How long is it since you've been at a game calling the game?
Well, I've done a couple of games, you know, obviously off tube, but and I've been to a couple of stadiums, sort of the NPL and FFA Cup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But to actually be in a you know senior stadium with fans. I'm trying to remember. I think it was probably in your neck of the woods, Adelaide, February 2020, I think.
Wow.
The last time I was in a stadium with fans.
Hey, our Aussie girls are looking good. They had a 3-0 win over Brazil. They take them on again tomorrow
3-1.
Night. 3-1, was it? Apologies. Yeah, give them that one. We've been a solid outfit for a while now.
Yeah, look, they played well on Saturday, certainly better than they have done in the recent past. I think it's important we don't go overboard. Whilst it was an impressive win, there are still some concerns, particularly defensively.
Yeah.
I think Tony Gustafsson is still working on the structure, and those errors, you know, were still there to a certain degree on Saturday. We saw one, unfortunately, from Alana Kennedy on a 100th cap, which allowed you know, Brazil to get back into the game momentarily. But overall, I thought the structure was a lot better. They reverted to a back four, which I think suits the team a lot more. That's only my personal opinion. It allows Ellie Carpenter and Steph Catley to get forward down the flanks, which is a big part of their game. I guess we'll see. I mean, they play again tomorrow night. You'll see it live on Channel 10, of course. That's my little plug. We'll see, you know, just how far they progress, because I think Brazil will include their two big players, Marta and Debinha. And they'll be a whole lot better for that. So it'll be a different test tomorrow night. So we'll see how much progress they've made.
Speaking of tests, Simon, seeing the Brazilian goalkeeper, Letizia Isidoro, look very, very wobbly after 10 minutes, what's the concussion protocol in the World game?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. And to be honest, really, she probably should have come off.
Yeah.
Because it was a very hefty whack. I mean, I think I described it in the call as like taking a punch to the jaw in a boxing ring. I mean, it really was, you know, that serious. Now, okay, you know, credit to her. She's obviously a tough girl and she got up and she played on, but
she didn't look right.
You worry about the longer term effects. You know, we know that all the studies now into head knocks in all sports, and you have to be so careful. And goalkeepers are a very vulnerable position for those sorts of collisions. So, yeah, I probably would have liked to have seen her replaced. I understand in some ways why Brazil didn't, because they had two very inexperienced, uncapped goalkeepers on the bench. But really, that shouldn't matter. And I think we need a definitive on this, really, from FIFA. If you get a head knock that requires treatment that goes on longer than 30 seconds, really, you've got to come off and stay off, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, agree.
Simon, can I ask you a delicate one? We heard the claims from Lisa Devanna a few weeks ago. Had you heard rumblings of this? Because it would be a concern and not the type of publicity that any sporting organisation or nation would want to have within their ranks.
Yeah, look, I think most people who've worked in football for some time have heard these rumours. But, you know, because they were rumours, you don't report on them until they become facts. Now, you know, Lisa Devanna decided to go public with her story, and I think we've got to take those allegations very, very seriously. You know, they are potentially of a criminal nature. So it's not something to be dismissed lightly. And I think that's why Football Australia has set up this independent inquiry, which I applaud, incidentally. I think it's the right thing to do. Now, all those people who, you know, claim that this has happened to them, and I'm not disputing it for a second, have 3 months to go and talk to the inquiry, put their point of view forward, have their stories investigated. And if there is substance behind those stories, then, you know, there should be no sacred cows. This is a duty of care that the game has to girls, women, men, boys, everybody. Everybody's entitled to a safe environment when they play sports. And, of course, here we're talking about football in particular. So if there are people found guilty of wrongdoing, be they coaches, be they administrators, be they team officials, be they senior Matildas, whoever they are, then they need to be, you know, outed, and we need to get rid of them out of the game, quite frankly. But, you know, that's part of the process. Obviously, as a football person, I hope that that's not the case. But the stories and allegations are so serious that as a sport, we are duty-bound to investigate them.
So, Simon, is it also right that while you have an independent inquiry where you want people to come forward, that there's also then almost a marketing campaign the other direction where you've got so many players being heavily promoted as saying this is a great environment to be in?
Well, look, I went public a week or two ago and said that I found the decision by Football Australia to put the Matildas collective statement on their official channels baffling.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that the Matildas don't have a right to be heard, because of course they do.
Yeah.
And if they want to speak up and say, look, my experience has been fine, I've got no issues, then there are a million platforms that could have gone on. They could have gone to a media outlet. They could have formed a Twitter group like the Golden Generation did, the old Socceroos, and put their statements out that way. Instead, it went on the FA's official channels, which I found a little bit bewildering, I have to say, because it came only a few days after Football Australia themselves had set up the inquiry. So it seemed to be a little bit at odds to that notion of independence to me. It was almost like there's nothing to see here.
Exactly.
So I thought, look, it's only my opinion, but I thought that was a mistake. Whether or not it is, it does not deflect away from the fact that these stories have to be investigated. And if there is, fire behind that smoke, then, I don't care who is the guilty party. If they are guilty, then action needs to be taken.
Exactly. Now, the other bit of smoke, and there may be a fair bit of fire in this, Ross Aloisi pointing out the salary cap is a farce in the A-League. Is he right?
Well, I think you have to read, first of all, a little bit of context into Ross's words. I think he said that clubs like Sydney and one or two others are able to spend a lot more money on marquees and designated players and all that, which is absolutely true. Adelaide don't have that sort of budget. In terms of, are they rorting the cap? Well, look, if people feel that should be investigated, then fair enough. Personally, I think salary caps are a nonsense in our sport anyway. They are designed for, with the greatest respect, sports like AFL and rugby league, where you have a restricted market for players. They can't go anywhere else.
Yep.
In our game, our players can go all over the world, and all it does is hurt our league. So, to be honest, I would do away with salary caps in football. I think they're an absolute nonsense.
Hilly, always good to chat. Just a quick tip. Tomorrow, Matildas and Brazil?
I hope the Matildas come back up. And they're going to have to. If they're going to be competitors in the Women's World Cup on home soil in 2023. So this is a big test for them. So I'm going to back them and say, yep, they'll make it two wins on the spin.
Always good to chat, Simon. We look forward to the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Simon.
There he is, Simon Hill, the voice of the World.